We were talking yesterday and taking a walk, and our son Noah was reading some of the signs as we were walking, and one of the people on our roads has this sign that says, drive like your kids live here. But Noah didn't get the last two words at the bottom, so he said, drive like your kids. And it made me think about when I was about their age, my brother and I got this Power Wheels Jeep, and up to the front porch of our house or the front door, there was all these little lamps that were next to our sidewalk. And about 3 months after we got that Jeep, every single one of those had been knocked down because I guess we were slaloming through them and things like that, and didn't do so well. What would you think if a 7-year-old asked you if they could drive your car? Imagine if they can do that much damage with the little Power Wheels thing, what could they do with a full-blown car? And so we recognize that children say some interesting things, but they also trust us, we do some things for them because they will just trust us, and we will take care of them. The other day, both of my kids were. I was asking them to come do something, and one of them was afraid, and the other one said, don't be afraid. He's our daddy. He won't let anything hurt us. Well, really, that's true when it comes to our Heavenly Father. And we need to have a childlike faith when it comes to obeying Him. So if you turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, I want us to notice a particular verse in Genesis 3 that kind of struck me in the last few days. In verse 11, after Adam and Eve have sinned, the Bible says there in Genesis 3, verse 11, that God asked them, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded that you should not eat?" Now, when you think about how God made this beautiful garden for Adam and Eve, put them in it, all of their needs are supplied. Even Adam is not alone. He has a helper, a companion to be with him. And so he puts them in this paradise, this Eden, and that's what Eden means, and does all that. Obviously, he cares for them. But then he puts the tree in there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, verses 16 and 17 of chapter 2. And he says, don't eat of this. He does give them the penalty. He says, if you eat of it, you will die. But he doesn't go into a long explanation as to why they should not eat it. He doesn't say, well, the fruit is poison, or you'll get a rash, or this or that. And I know we can go on and we can talk about why we should live godly lives, how it will be beneficial to us, how it's the best policy, how it will help us out. But I think it's important for us to sometimes recognize that we simply need to obey God because He's God and because He commanded. Just like with my children, sometimes I expect them to do things just because I'm their dad and I said so. And so the Bible gives us this picture here where God says, I commanded this. So God, he didn't explain to them why they shouldn't do it and how it would be the best policy for them. He basically is saying, will you do something just because I am God and I am commanding you not to eat of this tree? And so when Eve actually starts thinking about and rationalizing what she would like, when she tries to put herself in the driver's seat, so to speak, that's when she gets in trouble. And so when you go to chapter 3 here and look at verse 6, the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Boy, this is going to feel good. A lot of times people rationalize sin that way today. Boy, this is going to feel good. It feels right. It feels right to be with this person, or it feels right to do this. The second thing, it was pleasant to the eyes. Boy, this looks good. This looks like something I want to participate in. It's pleasing to my eyes. And then thirdly, and very importantly, that I want to talk about tonight is this. Also, that it was desirable to make one wise. The serpent had said, if you eat this, you'll be as God. You'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. And that really is the root of it all, because sometimes we think that we know a better way to direct our lives than God does. And that's when we start brewing motivations that lead up to sin. And you know that you can even do this with good things. You can come to church, you can study God's word, you can do even good things, But your motivation can be behind it for your own glory, to show how you're better than other people, or you show, show how great you are. And so the pride here is really what gets her. That's, you know, the unwillingness to just trust God and let Him take the driver's seat, as we just sang, let Jesus pilot us. We want to pilot it. We want to be like that seven-year-old that is going to drive a car, and we're going to make a mess out of it. Because if a seven-year-old drives a car, what are they going to do? Well, they're probably going to end up a cripple and lose their family, and that there's going to be a lot of problems if they do that. And so they simply just need to trust. And so just as Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4, except you be converted and become like a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoever will humble himself as a little child, the same shall be great in the kingdom of heaven. And so do we have the attitude where we're lifted up with pride and we think, you know, whatever we do, we decide we're going to obey God because we think about how it's going to make us look, or we do it for our own glory? Or do we have enough faith as we grow in Christ to say, I'm going to just obey God because of who He is and because He commanded this? Simply because He is this way, I'm going to do it. So the reason I'm going to be humble is because Christ humbled Himself. The reason that I'm going to be gracious and generous to other people is because He's generous to me. The reason I'm going to tell the truth is because He's a God of truth. And simply appreciating for Him for who He is instead of what we can get out of it. You know, when you look at a sunset, you appreciate the sunset not for some other thing you get out of it, but for itself alone. When I was in college, I had a music appreciation class where I had this test where they would play something and you have to tell who the composer was, whether it was Beethoven or, you know, Vivaldi or Bach or whatever. And so I listened to all those great composers because I was afraid that I might not, you know it on the test. And then I guess there was a certain point in my life where I listened to those because I thought, well, I'm cultured. I'm better than other people. You know, you all listen to pop here. I listen to this great. Really, both of those are not good motivations. If you're going to listen to that stuff, listen to it because you appreciate it for itself alone. Not because of any sort of pride in your heart, or not because you're afraid of this or that and how it might make you look. And so I think all of us can take a note about that we can look at our motives for whatever we do and make sure that we're doing it just because of who God is and because God said so. Now that truly is full obedience. The only other option is pride, to think that we have it figured out better than God and that we can somehow participate in sin and that it's not going to harm us, that somehow God doesn't know what He's talking about. And when we go down that road, we can rationalize any sort of thing, kind of like Eve did. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So what about you tonight? Are you willing to obey the gospel because you trust God with that childlike faith, that you recognize that, you know, there are some things in life that you just need to trust God on? I think in our modern culture, we have a problem with this because, you know, the ancients, they recognized that there were certain spiritual laws that they needed to abide by, and they needed to develop certain things in their heart, like humility, because if they didn't, it would be bad for them. But we, today, we have so much technology, and we manipulate the world around us to our liking, that sometimes we want to do that with God's laws, too. We want to think, well, if we can manipulate nature to serve us, why can't we manipulate God's laws to serve us? But you see, there are laws there that God has placed, and we've got to respect it, and we've got to develop in ourselves the type of humility for respecting who He is and obeying Him just because He said so. And so if you're willing to obey the gospel through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, we are here to help you. We have water here available, and we'd love to study with you about those things, and you can put the Lord on tonight in baptism and wash away your sins, Acts 22:16. Maybe you've done the first things and you've wandered away. Why not come back? Why not humble yourselves before God before it's too late? Why together we stand and why we sing.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When else could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.